following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. Nicely done, Herman. As we all know, Herman is with us. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, as we just mentioned, is Herman Sinergia. Say hi, Herman.
Okay, yeah, all right. Insidious.
Okay. And I have
hi, Mark.
Hassan Coblin sitting next to him. And sitting next to me, sharing a mic, would be Charlie Saladino.
Hello, you kooky, crazy people out there.
So, if anybody's having trouble to us
driving,
having trouble speaking, we just had an interesting adventure getting down here, but we actually made it on time, so nicely done, Herman and Hassan.
Never get in the car with Herman Sinergia.
But if anybody's having any trouble,
it's like a Kurosawa movie without the samurai.
Yeah, it was an adventure, but he did get us here, so
yeah, that's
so
true.
Thank you very much. So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us on the webcam, which is on the site. You can press watch webcam, and you can see us in 10-second intervals waiting. Hey? And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. So let me just take it away with the news. First and most important news. This past Monday was our very own Charlie Saladino's birthday, and he didn't even mention it to us. We didn't even know it was happening. So, happy birthday, Charlie.
Happy birthday, Charlie.
Thank you.
Happy
it's unusual. Birthday, thank you, guys. It's unusual because I tell everybody it's
You're
my
old,
birthday. Because
right?
I, you know, love the idea that I made it this long, you know? So, everybody, thank you for your
You know
your
why you
wishes.
Made it this long? Because you know me. Anybody who knows me lives to 100.
Yeah, Herman's our fountain of youth here. Yeah, that's him. Lives to 100 because you aggravate the pants off of us.
Because you slowly drain
the
life out
going,
of
us. Yes. But anyway, I want to thank everybody, especially my daughter and Anthony, who amazing party, and all my family and friends were there, who I love. And just
we
thank you. Okay,
there.
Take it away, Mark.
Yeah,
right,
thanks for the invite.
Yeah, we didn't get to go.
I didn't go.
None of you guys went. I had no choice in that when I told her don't invite them. No, I'm just kidding. It was a last minute thing. It was fun.
So speaking of birthdays,
Mr. Segway.
Speaking of birthdays,
on Thursday, just 5 days after he celebrated his 80th birthday, it was reported that Leonard Nimoy would come out of retirement and provide the voice of Sentinel Prime in Transformers Part 3, which would be called Dark of the Moon. According to the movie, Sentinel Prime was discovered by Apollo 11 astronauts on their secret mission to the moon during the first moon landing, and is supposedly a quote-unquote big brother and mentor to Optimus Prime. For those of you who
so
are
he's
fans,
not Galvatron this time. He's not a bad
exactly.
guy.
For the for those of you who are fans of the original series, this marks Leonard Nimoy's return to the Transformers universe as he voiced Galvatron in the movies back in the 80s.
I am shocked. I didn't even know that Leonard Nimoy was retired.
Yeah, he retired April.
He retired, really, in April?
Last year. It was last year, I remember, he said he retired.
That didn't last long.
No.
He said he was retired also before the new Star Trek movie came out, and then he coaxed him into the new Star Trek movie.
Well, then, what's that? Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, well,
search for more money.
He said you were too retired.
But
you claimed you were retired.
What's interesting is that Leonard Nimoy is married to Susan Bay, who is a cousin of director Michael Bay.
Nepotism.
Which might be why.
Wouldn't her name be Susan Bay?
That's how we got the phone number.
Yeah, you wanted the voice. Here's.
That was the voice?
No, I mean, his wife says you want to do the voice?
Oh.
Here's the number.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Moving along.
Quickly.
You're that slow, huh?
Wow. Yeah. It's him that's slow.
I've had a traumatic experience.
Oh, my God. The car.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I wish I knew what happened.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
you don't
we'll
be
tell you. I'm right here.
It's all.
This week, Fox, Sony, Universal, and Warner Bros. Pictures have all made a deal with DirecTV that starting in late April, they will make first-run movies available within for 48 hours for the price of $29.99.
What?
Just 60 days after they are released in the theaters.
There goes the movie business.
So basically what they're saying is that movie comes out, 60 days later, it'll be available for $30 on demand.
But only for 48 hours. 2 days.
But it's a two-day price, so you know you can pay it's 2 months. For,
they come out on DVD anyway in 2 months.
It's a 90 to 120-day window. That's what it is right now. So 3 months, but now they're shortening it out to 2 month window. And it's, you know, you pay a 48-hour rental release for $30. And then, you know, if you want to get it for two more days, another $30.
That's terrible.
That's the DVD business, they're bilking you.
First of all, I wouldn't pay for something I had to stream. Because if anything happened with it, let's say your internet connection got screwed up or something else stupid happens and you don't get the full experience of the movie, you know they took your money. They got the full 30.
Right.
You didn't get the full, you know, hour and a half of the film.
But this is like you know, on demand when you go on like regular TV.
That's fine, but if you don't get to keep it, there's no point in shelling out $30 for it.
Well,
you should shell out $30 for a DVD, but that's yours forever. You can watch it as many times as you want.
The idea is that they can get the earlier movies sooner for a higher price instead of going to the theaters. That's the idea behind it.
But Mark, what is that showing everybody? It's shown that it's 60 days, and then it goes down to 30 days, then 2 weeks, and there goes the movie business.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but the movie business needs to die. Because the movie business the movie industry hasn't done a darn thing.
They raised the price of tickets.
To improve the experience of going to a movie. They haven't tamped down on the talking or the noise that happens during the film. They haven't stepped up the show quality. You know, you watch a movie and you still have the film splitting in half and, you know, sputtering out or whatever. The food is ridiculous. The price of the food is ridiculous. Most of the places are painted, you know, the colors of asylums. You know,
they're light green.
Yeah, these
dark
nasty
green.
Greens or whatever. It's
and
just
that rug
terrible...
that makes you go crazy when you look down at it.
You stare at it too long. It starts to go nuts.
But I like it that way.
It's terrible. I mean, I love the movies, and I love going to the movies, and I love going with all my friends. I like sitting in the theater with the hundreds of other people to watch a movie for the first time.
And the movie theater is like a prison that has cinder block walls.
But the problem is the experience is just not good anymore because there's so many things that can ruin the experience for you, and there's literally no curtailing of any of those incidents that happen. So it's, I mean, if it, the movie, that industry goes afoul because of this, it's their own, they have their own.
Can it go when I retire, Hassan? Please. Can we wait?
I don't know. You take it up with them.
What I think they should do, and again, being that I'm one of the elders in the studio, and Tom might agree with me, is when I was a kid and went
elder.
To Radio City Music Hall to see a movie, there was a show first, and then you would see the movie. And that's how most theaters were set up in the old days, where there would be a show first, and then you see the movie.
It's too much money, Charlie.
Yeah, but not if you want to make the show out of, you know, upstarts, out of kids who just want to start, these good actors and actresses.
Right,
who just
comedy
want to
act
start,
or something. Yeah.
And right, like vaudeville, who want to get a name for themselves. They would be glad to do it for nothing to be on that stage.
Yeah, or even without that, I remember when I was a kid, and this is when I was really young, back in the early 60s, when you went to see a movie in a good theater. For your money, you got to see a couple of trailers. You got to see a cartoon. You got to see a short, and then you got to see the feature presentation. Which, if it was longer, in a rare event, it was longer than 2 hours. They might even have an intermission in the middle.
Well, the theater people, the head of the National Association of Theater Owners, or NATO for short, is not taking this lying down.
They're not taking this lying down.
No, he says, quote, "This plan is a misguided adventure. In the end, the entire motion picture community will have a say in how the industry moves forward. These studios have made their decision and what they no doubt to perceive, which is in their best interest. Theater owners will do the same." So I'm wondering to see what they're going to do to fight back.
There's a place in Menlo Park, New Jersey. You get to eat dinner. drinks. They serve drinks, and you watch the movie. My daughter goes there with her fiance.
For all those stalking, Herman's daughter.
I think the movies should basically sell bootlegs of the films.
Hassan, hear me out. I think if you like the movie and you watch it, they should have it for sale at the candy counter. I'm not kidding around.
There was a lot of movies I came
use
out
it as
with,
a marketplace.
I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait 160 days
right.
to get this movie. You know, I'd like to have the movie right now.
Then the next week, the movie don't make no more money because everybody's got the DVD making copies.
but they made their money. They make a lot of money. A lot of movies that are supposedly flops end up being hits because of the DVD sales.
I could just see in the future when a movie's coming out, they promo it and coming soon to your store instead of a theater, and that's going
to
be it.
Yeah, to a store near you.
Or on demand.
Or coming soon right outside the door.
Yeah.
But I told Mark this, that movies are made for young people. That's where they make the money. Walt Disney, he wasn't making stuff for old people, was he? For cartoons. The kids make the money for corporations, right? So young people go see the movie. Drive-ins made a bundle of money in the 50s and 60s and when drive-ins was booming, right? Because young teenagers will go see like all these campy movies. And it still stays the fact that young people make the money for the movies.
Well, it is the target audience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they want to have the most thing. But there are movies for older people, too.
In most media these days, they're going after the younger people because the feeling is that older people have already decided what brands they're going to buy and they're going to stick to them no matter what. And or either that or they just go with whatever is cheapest. And they don't care what the brand is. So it's in... The wisdom in Madison Avenue is it's no point in trying to advertise to them. They're either pre-sold or they won't care. The ones they are after are the younger people whose tastes aren't set yet and who they can influence. And if they do influence, they have a chance of making a customer for life.
Right.
So speaking of movies.
Mr. Segway.
He's thinking about the ride. He's thinking about the ride home. He's gonna make it. Am I gonna make it?
As mentioned previously,
it's like an astronaut.
As mentioned previously, re-entry. There are two Snow White movies in a production to come out in the theaters over the next 2 years.
One's about cocaine.
One.
That one I want to see.
That's the third movie. One being directed by Rupert Sanders, and it's called Snow White and the Huntsman, starring Kristen Stewart from Twilight fame as Snow White, and Charlize Theron as the Evil Queen.
Oh.
The other one is directed by, Tarsim Singh, and it's simply called Snow White. And it stars Armie Hammer as the prince, who was in The Social Network, Julia Roberts as the Evil Queen, and now they finally got their own Snow White in the form of Lily Collins, daughter of music legend Phil Collins. Lily, who has starred in one movie only so far, playing Sandra Bullock's daughter in The Blind Side. So now they
You know who could have played Snow White? Liv Tyler. That would have been the perfect Snow White. Liv Tyler?
I can see it.
She looked like Snow White in Lord of the Rings.
But I don't think she's like an elf. The young enough type.
Well, maybe that's why she doesn't, or she shouldn't be doing it, because everybody has a stereotype as the princess.
Oh. How very profound.
No, Charles, look, we didn't ask for your opinion. All right,
come on. Oh, wow.
Wow, I feel important.
He's agreeing with you.
I know. I didn't know what to answer him.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with him.
So you just insulted him.
Yeah.
He had nothing. I didn't know what to do, so I just called him a poopy head.
Why should I agree with Herman, knowing the outcome? But I keep doing it. I don't know why.
Go ahead. Speaking of casting choices.
Mr. Segway.
Casting choices.
All right.
Ever since.
Make it up for last time.
Ever since the movie There's Something About Mary, there have been rumors of a Farrelly Brothers Three Stooges movie in the works.
Called There's Something About Harry.
Well, that rumor has just come two steps closer to being made with the casting of Will Sasso from Mad TV as Curly and just announced from Will and Grace, Sean Hayes as Larry. No word on who Mo yet will be.
Oh, my God. That might work, really.
Why?
Will Sasso.
Why?
He's funny.
Why? No. No, wait, that's a remake. What's the matter with you?
You're right.
That's your platform.
You're right.
You had to remind him it was a remake?
Well, is it going to be a remake, or is it going to be a history of how the Stooges formed up in their early years? Or is it just going to be a Three Stooges movie with new Stooges?
It's supposed to be a Three Stooges movie with new Stooges. That was when the impression I was given.
Oh, God. Nobody. What was that? What's going on?
With Laurel and Hardy.
And the Honeymooners.
And the Munsters. And they've done it with just about everything.
We are supposed to learn from our mistakes, people. Don't do it.
And the Little Rascals. What about that one?
Yeah, they Dragnet. Just,
yeah. Dragnet.
They that was just, funny.
They should just call it There's Something Bad About This Picture.
Yeah.
I like Dragnet.
But I like the Brady Bunch. That was pretty clever.
The Brady Bunch was. I like the Brady Bunch remake.
Yeah, for every,
they were stuck in the 70s.
For every 50
and the Addams Family movies. The Addams Family movies were good.
For every
good
50 bad ideas, there's like one or two good ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Scooby Doo wasn't that bad either.
I don't know about that. In a move that surprises absolutely no one, Marvel Entertainment has announced Captain America number one, premiering in July with Steve Rogers back as, you guess it, Captain America, just in time for the release of the new movie.
Oh, he's alive again.
Yes, Captain America is back alive, and he's going to be in a new number one comic book, just in time for the release of the movie. What a surprise.
Yay.
I'm in shock.
Charlie is shocked that they brought back Captain America.
How could they do this? He was dead. If he's dead in the comic book, he has to stay dead. Those are the rules. You can't just bring people back to life whenever you feel like
they should make
it.
Captain,
it's magic.
Except for Spock.
They should make Captain America. They use their heads. Make Captain America team up with Rocketeer.
Vader.
The Rocketeer.
See, the idea was so bad, it was dead silence from
no,
the
galaxy. Listen. It worked.
They brought back Daniel Jackson like a ton of times. But other than that, you can't bring people back to life.
Yeah, they just... All right. Cap writer Ed Brubaker, who killed off Cap in the first place, says...
We should kill Brubaker.
He won't come back. he says, I gave myself a few challenges for this new number one. I wanted to do it...
Yeah, one of which was my main character was dead. I had to bring him back to life. I was challenged.
Wait, this is out of left field. Is the light fixing the bathroom? Because I have to go on a break.
All right. He wanted to make a great number one movie, a number one issue, and he wants to have.
I don't want Insidious to get me in the bathroom. Insidious.
Hey, let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
He says for anyone, he wants to make a perfect Captain America comic for anyone who walks out of the theater and wants to know what comes out next with Captain America character. So he wants everybody who watched the movie to go and buy the comic.
And then the funeral. That's
exactly.
What comes out
and
next.
Then we put him in the ground.
Why are we like superhero when we start with a funeral? Like
no.
Spider-Man.
Just like the Fantastic Four and, you know, just like all of that stuff.
What?
Well, in a sense, the new Green Lantern movie is going to start with a funeral. The previous Green Lantern who gives the ring over to Al Jordan has to bite the dust first.
See, Al Jolson. I mean, Al Jordan.
Al Jolson. glad to have you back here, Herman. Thanks for the ride.
He's like, Mammy, give me that ring.
Speaking of stuff dying,
Mr. Segway.
You thought your last week's show was funny.
Choreographer Daniel Erzulo, who designed Spider-Man's intricate flying scenes in the play Spider-Man: Trial of the Dark, will be replaced by Chase Brock, a Brooklyn dancer.
Some guy who knows how to hold a rope.
His last Broadway credit. Broadway credit was a choreographer assistant in 2003 Revival of the One.
Imagine bites on a sandwich.
They lost the premier guy who came up with the technique, and then they got some dude who's worked on production.
They're abandoning the ship. They're abandoning the ship.
Why don't they change the name to Spider-Man Shut Down the Play?
Turn off the play.
Follow the rats. Abandon the ship.
They had a great cartoon in the Post, which I love this guy's cartoons, and it's Spider-Man like hunched over a bar with a couple of drinks by him, and Charlie Sheen is in there, and Spidey says, "Maybe we could combine our plays."
Winning.
Wow.
But this is all obviously part of the whole tearing down the Spider-Man play and starting it from the beginning. So
the actors almost got killed.
Yeah, but they're supposedly...
And she's only cutting her nails.
When it starts again, it's supposed to be all better and ready to go. I think it's June 15th is the release date.
My favorite one, opposed and that poor guy falling into the orchestra pit, was they had the actress who was the villainess who was playing a scene get a concussion, so they replaced her, and the next actress they replaced her with got a concussion in the same scene.
It's like The Exorcist, the play.
It's like, you talk about continuity and consistency. Yay.
That's the advantage of a cast that's expendable. That's expendable.
Okay, next. How many understudies?
Speaking of
how many understudies Spider-Man has?
Mr. Segway.
In a recent interview with Chris Hemsworth, the lead
Who's
in the
that?
New Thor movie,
oh, okay.
I just said, thanks for letting me finish my sentence, he mentioned that he bulked up so much to prepare for his role as Thor,
he can't walk anymore.
Fit into his costume.
That he's Thor.
That he did it wrong.
Apparently,
I'm Thor, God of hunger.
Apparently, in the 3 months between being measured for the costume and a final test, he added muscle so much that the suit was so tight,
so
he cut off the circulation.
Right,
they can do that with a computer. Yeah, what are you kidding?
It's called steroids and CGI.
Yeah.
Look, after Captain America, no one's ever going to convince me these guys are naturally bulking up
Thank
anymore.
You. And even the Green Lantern, he's like CinemaScope, man.
Stop, I'm juicing, leave me alone.
Yeah. I will fit in this suit, yeah.
He's like that guy in the commercial. What's that fitness commercial?
You're supposed to say
the fitness commercial. I'm thinking, right?
Well, you can't.
Winning,
oh my
right?
God. You can't just go
the
like,
fitness commercial.
This reminds me of this story, and then say nothing afterwards. In
stop.
Hopes that
I'm learning now. Leave me alone.
We'll jump in with that. All right, speaking of bad ideas.
Planet of the Apes. Oh.
Segway.
Herman's Nurture.
6 degrees of Planet of the Apes.
Dish Network Corp. won Blockbuster Inc. in a bankruptcy auction for about $320
million.
Analyst says the deal, which includes more than 1,700 Blockbuster stores, the ones that are left, gives new ways to his marketing services. The satellite company could use Blockbuster's online business as a base for delivering movies.
Mark has absolutely no feelings about the
30 days later
than
I have
reporting on.
Most of
brand
the money,
new movies.
Most of the money will go toward paying off the company's creditors, which include more than $1 billion that's owed, that Blockbuster owes.
$1 billion.
No feelings whatsoever.
Yeah.
No emotional pangs.
I hate Blockbuster.
A little schadenfreude, you know? Little joy.
I don't like Blockbuster.
Joy in the back of the spine.
They don't have a porno section.
Blockbuster still exists. That's my bane. It still exists. Oh, we're reeling? Yeah, we just kept on going.
It's like Domino's Pizza.
And that
Domino's Pizza still exists. I will not be done until I've stopped everyone from
closed on every Domino's.
Until they've served their last slice.
Domino's.
And finally.
Finally.
I have a finally, but go ahead.
Oh.
So do I, unless one of you two do it.
It's probably not this one. The movie Hop debuted at number one, making $38.1
million. $38.1.
Which was well over the $25 million they expected to take.
Over $25 million.
Executives say, when was there ever really a truly Easter movie like this about an Easter bunny that was this kid-friendly? I don't see why it wouldn't play out up to and including Easter Monday.
No, that's a good idea.
As a side note, Rango, which debuted a month ago, made $38.1
million.
So it's interesting how, I guess that's the new kid number that they're going to go for.
$38.1.
They got to make a cute Easter Bunny, because if you ever seen the pictures that kids take with the Easter Bunny, that thing looks evil. And it's like, scares the
Easter Bunny makes no sense anyway.
Out of me, yeah.
The Easter Bunny looks like Harvey.
Yeah, which Harvey was, not there,
So you have
Tom.
Tom has his news item first. So from the desk of Tom Ross.
After intense criticism, they've changed the Wonder Woman outfit again. They got rid of the shiny blue pants and they gave her blue fabric ones with some sort of little silver doodads going down the side.
See, this tells us that Tom doesn't listen to the show because I said that last week.
Yeah, but Tom wasn't here last week.
No, I wasn't here last week, and I wasn't in a position to listen to it.
You know what I said? I said, yeah, they're going from the disco Wonder Woman to the more natural
Wonder Woman. You were sick? Tom, you didn't feel good?
All right.
No, other reasons.
Okay.
Here's my final news thing. Final news thing, and I need to say this. I don't care who it offends.
Hey, don't look at me.
Okay, here we go.
NAACP.
I will never, ever send anybody, my kids or anybody, their kids' kids, to Rutgers University. Ever. Since they had the good, they had the great idea of hiring Snooki for $32,000 to make a speech, and then and they have a Nobel Peace Prize winner who they're making the commencement speech. She's making the commencement speech. This wonderful, intelligent person for $2,000 less. Okay,
that's pathetic.
So now. First of all, my thoughts are, what is Snooki going to say? How I was a success from drinking and having sex. Obviously, it's working because these brain-dead people in America are buying into this, and they're giving her the $32,000.
So, 100 shows ago.
So all these people at Rutgers, I say to you, you're a bunch of idiots. Thank you very much.
Good.
I wouldn't worry about it, because here's what's going to happen. She's going to make her speech. It's going to be a horrendous speech, but it's going to circulate YouTube everywhere on television for, I don't know, the next 5 to 10 years, and she's going to become the laughing stock. Even though she's still going to be viably bankable, because that's basically what she is she's a spectacle. And so as long as she continues to make herself a spectacle, they'll keep paying her, so she'll keep getting paid, but the respect level will be non-existent. Like, the situation was on one of the, I think, the Donald Trump roast, and he did horribly. Yeah. I mean, at a roast, he did horribly, to the point where all the jokes turned from Donald Trump against the situation. And Donald Trump was almost there for no reason the last half of the show. So, I mean, these people, they pay for it. Yeah, whenever they come and start messing around in the real world with real talent and with, you know, real people who really belong there, they fall incredibly short.
Yeah, but they make money to fall back on.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a little more, unfortunately, even in this day and age, there's still a little more to life than just making money. Unfortunately.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I would still rather have my respect. I don't care how much money I have.
You're right.
I don't have the respect of, you know, the people in my own chosen field. Then it's
just
still not
the way the media explodes these people. You know,
they explode people.
No, you know,
expose them.
And blow them up. You know what I mean? Blow them up.
They explode Snooki. That'd be good.
So we're ready for our break.
I'm ready for my break.
Right back with the game from the radio.
I gotta go to bed.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
She packed my bags last night pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, it's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket man, a rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time to touch down.
Was hot. Now back to our show.
And we are back with the King of the Radio. Your host, Mara Torres, speaking. Herman did not go to the bathroom. For those of you interested, for those of you interested in that bit of information,
so we're gonna have to hear about it. The whole rest of the show.
There's a ghost in
the bathroom. Yes, there is a ghost in there.
Yes, there is a ghost, and the ghost's name is Charlie.
Yes, there is a ghost in the studio, and the ghost's name is Charlie.
The ghost has been seen by two out of the four members of this show.
One of them of which is sane.
Ensuring that the other two members will never use the bathroom again.
Right.
Excuse me. Three.
Tom.
Three out of the five members of the show.
You want to see?
Yeah, it's supposed to be good luck to see him.
Really?
You want to see a good comedy? You want to see a good comedy movie?
Then I would go in there and not see him. I would spend an hour in there and not.
Do you want to see a good comedy movie? Insidious. That's a great comedy movie.
You know, during the commercial break, he did say that he was going to go out of his way to try and squeeze that bit of information in there.
Well done.
But this week, actually, something that me and Herman were talking about a while ago in the theater, he was talking about how the demise of the... Because we mentioned the blockbuster.
I believe the proper phrasing is Herman and I.
Yes, Herman and I. We were talking
Herman and myself.
Thanks.
The news today was that how Blockbuster was, you know, pretty much done. And Herman had mentioned about the old mom-and-pop stores, and he wanted to talk about how it used to be to get movies. And Hassan had mentioned that, you know, he doesn't even want to wait 60-90 days to 120 days to see something. And I remember in the old days, you used to have to wait years to see a movie.
Until they came out on VHS.
And
that was
good old days.
That was brand new. When it came out in VHS, you were like, wow, I get to see the movie again. You used to have to wait till the late night movie on Channel 7 to see a movie again, or till it debuted on television.
You know,
to see a film again.
The best part I liked about the mom and pop video stores, when you had to leave $100 down in the telephone bill.
You actually had to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was some insane price. Yeah. And if you didn't have a credit card, which nobody really, no kid had a credit. You know, it was like, Yeah, your firstborn male child and a phone bill. You know,
it was great.
Like, to get a membership,
just to see Alien,
like a viable membership.
Was, and then they did the life. That was just a year, and then they went into the lifetime memberships. Which, oh my God, let's get there.
When you had to rent out ET, had a chaperone with you.
You know,
in your living room, make sure you get
in the old days, I remember the phone bill was incredibly important. That way they can call you up and be like, hey, give us back our stuff.
Because
people
are
waiting. They wanted the phone number also.
Right. So they implemented
the
late fee to Blockbuster. Now you can go to Redbox and just slap a card in there and
corporate.
It spits out a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's essentially the same thing. It's you're still on the honor system, except the Redbox honor system is a little more... Has
financially
better,
feasible
has
really.
Better teeth than Blockbuster and the mom and pop store because if you didn't
they have your credit card. That's why
I will honestly cop to the fact that there was a mom and pop video store around my house when I was in my junior year of high school. I rented the movie the Dark Crystal.
That was a good movie,
and I still have it. In my junior year of high school.
And that's why they went out of business right there. They know now.
No.
They're going to come after you.
Me and Mark were saying that it was a different feeling renting these movies out from mom and pop because it was like a, you know, you rent the movie and you're excited to see it. You get a bunch of friends together or, you know, the family or whatever. And you know, you think you have some kind of pal in the living room just watching that movie. Now you got a Blockbuster.
Used to, anyway.
Yeah, used to. Corporate... Takes, you know, just, you know, like, industrializes everything, you know?
That's true. It does.
But the question is, do you think that the rental industry has improved or worsened throughout all these years? Because now, you know, you think about it, you want to rent a movie, you just go to the corner store.
Oh, you go to the internet. Now it's all the internet.
Yeah, even don't even have to leave your home to watch
Netflix.
A movie. So isn't that better than the mom and pop stores in a sense?
No, because the feeling's gone. The showmanship is gone. See... In Insidious, right? We'll bring back. Like
I'm
talking about showmanship. Listen, mom and pop stores had showmanship because we waited for somebody who rented the movie out. You want to see it. You have to wait for that guy to bring it back. And it's you know, you have to wait for it so you enjoy it better.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about them. I hated that about them.
No, but it just gives you more. You enjoy it more.
I love the fact that I had to wait 8 months for you to bring back. That one guy who's been waiting to see the Dark Crystal has never saw it because the sign never brought it back. That guy went to his grave.
Yeah, you're missing the whole point, guys. You're missing the whole point. Everything is so available to everybody. It's so fast. It brings the enjoyment out of it, you know.
Well, I used to remember going to my mom and pop stores, as Herman would know, because my mom and pop stores were his mom and pop stores.
Right.
And there was one store who used to have it was like a library thing, used to have a card in the back of the movie box. And if the card was there, you were in luck. Every movie I wanted, the card was never there.
It was gone,
and I had to wait.
Well, they still have that in Blockbuster. I mean, they used to. Well, you go to Blockbuster. You go to Blockbuster, and they would have
I'm doing my Blockbuster dance, by the way.
The new releases section, and the entire section would be. It would be an entire bookshelf of the same movie, and all of them would be rented. It was uncanny,
and
every time.
Right, and they had the card with the picture of the movie on it. Without the movie being in
right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the
remember
library.
Charlie, we recall this. Remember this one, Charlie?
I recall this.
These two video stores in Queens. I'm not going to mention no names of the video stores. And Blockbuster.
But they were in Queens.
They were in Queens. And Blockbuster opens up. And then 2 days later, Blockbuster's roof goes on fire.
Well, that was our neighborhood, Herman. That's not a, you know.
You know the guys in Queens and the mom and pop stores have been looking at each other and been laughing. The guys, the owners of the stores.
I don't even want to
fix the roof, and a month later, the roof goes on fire again.
Yeah, well, you know,
it was hilarious.
It was such an unprecedented loss of life.
Nobody got hurt.
It was amazing that when these fires started, there was nobody in the vicinity.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night.
or even around so this fire could start, but that's a completely different story.
On a rainy night, a roof goes on fire.
But what I'm getting to is that, despite the fact that the feel of mom and pop store was nice, it didn't really serve the public's need because obviously what they want is they want the item as fast as possible, as convenient as possible.
Well, the public's wrong.
No, that's right. Hassan is right. Because it's too force-fed. No. It takes the enjoyment. It's just like a kid that wants to go to wants cotton candy, right? And you give this kid cotton candy every hour. He don't want
and then
cotton
he
candy.
Dies.
You're diabetic.
Shock.
Yeah. in the movie Spaceballs, which was very erratic in my humble opinion, but they had a gag about it where they said there was a new system where they were releasing the movie on video before it was even done filming.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about.
Well, when is that going to be now?
Right now.
Can you don't ever show that scene.
We can't. It just passed right now.
Remember, go past this part. In fact, never show this
don't
part.
Don't show the scene again. Smoke if you got them.
Anyway, which was the greatest one. But anyway, you see, what I miss about the mom and pop, and I'm agreeing with you. Don't yell at me, Herman.
He has to preset.
Yeah, what I miss.
Still not going to work.
What I miss, yeah, you're right. Why do I even? What I miss about the mom and pop stores is we had a mom and pop store. Well, it was just a pop store because it's owned by this guy who, his name was Tony.
Don't say the last name.
It was Tony.
It was actually the guy.
Right. A name so nice he named it twice. I loved that store because we would talk about movies. It was personal. Right. We would talk about the movies.
Right.
If it wasn't there, he goes, "Oh, I'll get you a copy. It'll be in tomorrow." Blah blah. Whatever. I miss that. I miss the personal part
the camaraderie.
Of that. But at the same time. You know, I was kind of happy when there was a store that I could go in every day and get these movies. And eventually Tony became that store. And then eventually he started, because the big stores were coming in, he started going into the satellite dish business. So he compensated for that, but the store was still there. And right. I have some of my best.
Charlie's trying to tell us that the mom and pop stores were like barbershops. You would hang out with the owners.
Was that what you were trying to say?
Well, you know, it was like a little hangout. You can't hang out in Blockbuster because the kid's like 14 years old. I don't know that movie.
If you're hanging out in Blockbuster, you're stealing the movie.
Yeah, right.
It's that simple.
Or you're a pedophile.
It's that simple. Yeah, there you go. Either way.
Or but the mom and pop stores from, about your,
and this
your...
is from two security guys. We know. It's our business to know we're certified.
Exactly.
And the guy who used to work at Blockbuster.
I never liked Blockbuster.
Like, there's this guy, and he's still here. You know, those kids would call the cops on you in about an hour.
Yeah, because we used to do it. Like, can't this guy make a decision and leave?
Oh, the Blockbuster people were terrible, because they used to go in. In recent years, they had the for sales. They'd sell the which was the only really good thing that Blockbuster was useful for, was that they would sell the DVDs for these really cheap prices, and they weren't that worn out. So you would go in there and you'd peruse and they'd have a whole thing, but you couldn't be there for 5 minutes before it's like, can I help you with something? You need some help with something? No, I'm obviously looking at these DVDs and I have two in my hand and I'm looking for the third one so I could get that, you know, buy six, get one free, you know, deal that you guys got going there. This is wonderful. So, you know, just could you give me some space and I'll find a movie? Oh, I'm just letting you know, you got other deals. If you wanted to, and it's like, go away.
Rush it away, Anthony.
which is the major thing of deterring shoplifters. A meet and greet within 30 seconds that you're in the place. You know? So they're on you like, can I help you? Well, I'm looking for the next two. Yeah, just take anyone.
Yeah,
no, you can get
away. Have that.
You
have
know,
that
there
yeah.
you go. Yeah, yeah.
You're lingering.
Yes.
I've been here for 5 minutes. That's a linger. Yeah. This is Blockbuster. Everything's the same.
No, I was just saying, it was like a little, you develop a relationship, you know, like friends and a group, you know,
like
men's club.
Like with your mechanic. Like with your mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
Only he doesn't charge you an arm and a leg when you're mom and pop titties.
Well, the movies did used to be $100 or so for a VHS.
Well, they tried to buy. I bought Excalibur from one of them. I bought a VHS of Excalibur from them. It was used, and they charged me like $86
for
it.
Yeah, I remember there was this movie
I went for
the off-stream movies, and I would say, and the guy went, yeah, it's only $75. for this only 75. I said such a bargain. Only 75. Yeah. Now, like you said, you're
going. Only
going
to give you the finger.
I got to tell you a funny story. $8,000
for $20. You know?
I got to tell you a funny story.
Don't oversell it.
I'm not going to oversell it, right?
It's a story. We'll see if it's funny or not.
When the mom and pop store started, I wanted to rent Alien, right? So he said it was $100 down to rent Alien for the night. Right? Okay.
What? $100 to rent
a deposit.
The movie.
He's talking about a deposit.
I don't care. $100 to rent a movie for one night.
Deposit, right? So I said, look, I only have $95. Like, he said, you better come up more. He said,
$5, right? So to be exact.
I'm trying to get $5, right? He says, well, I'll let you slip now, but this is the last time you're renting in the store. I says, okay. I bring home my Alien, right? I watch Alien. Charlie know how I am, right?
Oh, man. Right? Don't do this.
I says, okay. I says, Scotch tape does a wonderful thing to VHS tapes. So I put the Scotch tape behind the back of the tape. Where the,
you know,
and I recorded white noise for 2 hours. I brought back Alien. And I got my $95 back.
Like I said, don't oversell the story.
I didn't oversell it.
It wasn't that funny.
I thought it was funny.
So you recorded over
white noise.
So let's see. Herman created some type of fraud.
I did not use very crazy.
Hassan stole the movie and never brought it back. What did you do, Charlie?
I've done so much worse than that.
I think worse than VHS.
If I actually told that story of what I used to do to Blockbuster, they would still hunt me down.
Charlie, what did I used to do with the VHS tapes?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that this may incriminate me. Therefore, take it away, Mark.
On the trial, they'll play this tape, and I did this to them. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Herman.
Episode 97 of
Herman wants me to be the informer against him.
No.
There's a switch for you. Tell him what I used to do.
I used to kill people.
I will never tell them what you did.
I took a video case.
You said the magic word, switch.
So this, all right, that's an inside joke.
So this goes along with comic book stores. I mean, you know, we had the camaraderie that you go in there, you peruse, you talk to the store owner, you learn about comics and stuff. But even that is dying away because you don't get what you want.
Well, you don't have retailers anymore. You don't have
a lot of comic book stores are dying breed because of however else books are being available
on the internet. What they're planning to do is make sure that we get rid of all material belongings and possessions and stuff like that completely and have everything digital, and then they hit us with the impulse, and then we lose nothing and we go back to the Stone Age and we're running around with bats and sharp sticks after that.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And that's going to be, like, the EM Pulse is going to be on Monday. By Thursday, we're going to have the sharp stakes and bats and loincloths.
And the bottom line is, and Robert Klein said it so eloquently in one of his albums, it's the law of supply and demand. You know, we have all the supply. We could demand whatever the hell we want. Then that's the bottom line.
That's true.
And, a couple of shows ago, we talked about the movie theater experience, that it's still something that people go to because even at the bad times, movie theaters closing down, Avatar still makes a gajillion dollars. So can you think of how that affects that type of thing? I mean, if it's still there, people will go to it, I think. And I think it's important that the building still exists for that way people can go there. And I don't know about how the on-demand might affect it in a positive light, because sometimes it's not enough to see a movie in your little apartment watching it by yourself. Sometimes you want to go out and go see things.
Mark, what was the most famous thing when TV was invented? When color TV was invented?
The TV repairman.
And the TV remote. People like convenience. They don't like inconvenience. Right.
Well, they had kids.
That's so available on phones
and channel.
Right. People don't like to be inconvenienced. They like to sit and be served. So when having a TV remote, you felt important. Oh, I could change the channel from the couch. It's like a psychological type thing, right? And now you have a movie on your phone. Anytime you want to watch a new movie, you stream it, whatever, and you watch the movie. That's how they get the people. That's how they lead the rat to the cheese.
They read the rat to the chief?
Lead the rat
lead.
To the chief.
I thought you said read. I was going to say, what's that?
You got to know how
Here
to play
you
the
go, Johnny,
game.
The cheese that ate Milwaukee. You know, I'll read it to you.
Tom, am I right or wrong? You know, so, you know my drift.
He's looking for some
yeah,
type
no,
of validation.
He's got a good point there.
So what do you guys think about
I always have a good point.
About what's going to happen to the,
like
to the movie theater industry now that this deal is coming out?
Well, I think the
it's
movie...
It's going to kill the movie industry.
No. I think the opposite. If this goes on any further, again, we were all saying it. You're not going to have to leave your house. And the movie industry has no regard for the movie houses. They're just there to make money, and this is a vehicle. If they could find
right.
another vehicle to make money, they would gladly do it. They don't care about the movie
the more
experience.
The more
you know, they don't care about the movie experience. So what is going to happen is, like the drive-in movie, there's this gentleman who opened the movie theater with about seven half cars in it, and it's the drive-in experience because young people didn't know what it was. They see it in Greece. They see it, and they want it again. So in the future, I think you're going to have these little novelty places open. What a
novelty
movie theater.
Movie theaters.
Right, exactly. And that's what I think is going to happen. Go.
So it's quite possible that we might wind up going back to the mom-and-pop stores instead of corporate America
we will
with these type of things.
Sort of like what's happening in the music industry. The age of the superstar is probably going to come to an end with all the music on the internet and on file sharing, on YouTube, on Facebook. And musicians will probably be, all musicians will probably be in the same state as, say, jazz or classical musicians, playing in small venues to serious enthusiasts and getting their pay that way.
So we have 2 minutes left, and we're going to have some final thoughts. So I'll give it to Charlie since we're sharing a mic. Do you have a final thought?
Yeah, I do. Join me Sunday. We're having a Pitabalooza, which is down at the Brookhaven Animal Shelter. We're going to see how many of these wonderful, marvelous pit bulls we could give away because they are marvelous animals. So exit 65 on the LIE, and you make a right at the first corner, and just follow the signs. Thank you.
Follow the smell of dog pee. Herman, you have a final thought?
Winning.
That's
winning. No. Hope movies get better.
Hope movies get better.
Go to the bathroom.
Right. You have a final.
It's a long walk home.
I think if the movie industry falls, it is the movie. It's the movie house's fault because they haven't upped the ante on the experience of going there, and they're taking the fans for granted. Having that been said, there's no way I'm paying $30 to stream a movie for 24 hours. There's just no way.
There you go. By the way, just another promo for me. I will be at a book signing at Callahan's and East Meadows. Book you want me to sign, bring it down there. We will be at Callahan's with a birthday bash, and I'll be at a book signing. There'll be pictures on the web.
And if you don't have a book, he will provide a book for you to sign.
Yeah, I bring extra. Go ahead.
So,
it's like
Tom,
autographs for
book,
dummies. It's like a copy of autographs.
Yeah. I should.
I just have to agree with Hassan in that. I think that I don't think it's going to damage the industry as much as we're fearing because, first of all, people really want to see a movie. They're going to want to see it when it comes out, like the Star Wars films and so forth. And the second is $30 a pop is quite a bit for a movie you have not seen before and don't really know if it's going to be to your taste and so forth.
And won't be able to own.
Right. You can't own it, you know, unless you have a pretty interesting rig set up in your living room.
So my final thought is that hopefully this will be a wake-up call to all the theaters out there to try and up their game, to step up what they need to do to get the people in there, because the theater experience is something that we should appreciate, and you know, we don't want to miss out. So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us next week right here on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in about a week. If you can't wait that long, you can go to places such as iTunes. I think we have a podcast feed on Twitter, all right, something like that. And it pops up. My technology isn't that great. Sorry about that, folks. And all our news items are available on our Facebook page, and we will see you next week.
Okay, bye.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.